Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Thank you for joining the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston.
Listening is one of those skills that everybody needs, no matter what situation you're in. If you're around your family, if you're around your friends, if you're in professional settings, if you have a significant other, listening is one of the skills you must have in order to have a good relationship. Some of us talk a lot. I'm one of those that talk a lot. My husband says, "Are you listening?" So I cannot wait to hear our guest today, who is going to tell us all about listening. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. And today our topic is growing your listening superpowers to have a lasting impact. Now, some of you know one of my, when I was in the third grade, somebody asked me what I wanted to be. And the first, I knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a wide receiver. Billy White Shoes Johnson of the Houston Oilers was my idol. And I wanted to be Wonder Woman. So I can't wait. You know, Wonder Woman did all these things. I can't wait to grow this superpower of listening. So our guest today is podcast host Raquel Ark. Raquel is a communication expert, coach, and facilitator. She is an American living in Germany with over 25 years of experience managing, coaching, facilitating, and teaching in the communication field, both in academia and in the chemical and tech industry. She has a Master of Arts degree in interpersonal and organizational communication, is a certified professional coach, and teaches at Fresenius University.
Fresenius.
Thank you, Fresenius University of Applied Science for the International Business School and the Digital Management Master of Arts Program. Now, that was a German word, you all, so I don't speak German. So as founder of Listening Alchemy, Raquel is very curious about the conditions and capacities to hold a listening space that connects and inspires. She has been researching and experimenting with listening beyond traditional training, including interviewing experts, authors, and listening scientists for her podcast, Listen In with Raquel Ark. She is committed to creating safe spaces, inviting authentic, deep conversations through effective listening, also promoting positive change. She believes that listening is a skill to develop, an art to master, and a gift of love. Welcome, Raquel, to the Empowerment Zone.
It's great to be here with you, Ramona. I'm happy to be here.
I'm excited about learning this listening superpower. I'm really excited about hearing your interpretation and your perspective on listening. Raquel is a fellow Women in Podcasting MicroCon presenter. We presented last couple of weeks ago at the PodFest Global conference, and that's how we met. Yes, and we both participated in our first Clubhouse event together.
<That's right.
laughs> That was a blast. And so I'm delighted that she accepted my invitation to be a guest on the podcast. So Raquel, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your personal background, and maybe if you want to go into professional, your trajectory into the field of communication? And then we'll get right into the topic.
Okay. So maybe I should start off because this relates to the topic a lot. I was born in Puerto Rico and I grew up camping on the beach. So my first listening teachers were the waves. When we would wake up in the morning with the waves and going to sleep with the waves. And I really, I say that because listening is so much more than just people speaking. There's so much around us that we can listen to that really impacts even how we perceive the world and how we perceive ourselves. And so I grew up though between in two cultures, between Puerto Rico and Ohio, because my parents got divorced. I still have family in both areas. And that also influenced probably my approach now, because I grew up between two different cultures that were very different. So it was just natural for me to know that things were done differently and things were perceived differently. And that was just part of life, right? Over time, I studied interpersonal and organizational communication. And so this listening topic was also part of that program, but I didn't give it much thought. We just learned active listening. And that's what a lot of people talk about is active listening, but yet it's so much more than that. And that's what I've learned in my journey here. That time period where I actually had listening classes where we would have to listen to a recording and then answer things, you know, it was like more memorization and did we pay attention? That was part of my listening classes back in those days. So fast forward, I studied interpersonal organizational communication at Ohio University, and I worked and I taught also communications, some public speaking and intercultural communication. And I was always around a lot of different cultures. It just was part of in my life. I came and explained why it just always was the case. And then I just happened to meet my husband, who's from Germany. And that's how I made it over to Germany. I never thought that I would marry a German guy. I always thought I would marry a Latin guy. Here I am in Germany. And I've worked in corporate. When I moved here, I didn't speak the language. And, you know, I was used to having influence through communication. And then when you move to another country and you can't speak the language, and then people don't know me for Raquel Arc, but they know me as Olaf's wife who speaks English, who should be an English teacher, you know, it took me a little bit of time to learn the language, to, you know, adapt to the culture, to understand how things work in this particular situation. But eventually I got into corporate communications and worked in the chemical industry, and there saw the impact of communication also at a higher, at a bigger scale, you know, from listening to employees, to customers, how that feeds back and how that impacts our actions and what we do in business decisions. But I left the corporate world about 6 or 7 years ago to have more time with growing my child. And since then I've been doing a lot of coaching and training, and what's evolved, is that the last few years I've really focused on the listening capacity and the listening skill. And we can talk more about that. But I would say that, from these different experiences, also becoming a coach and having a different perspective, because when you're a coach, you listen in a different way, and seeing how this impacted clients and how it helped them think through things and solve their own problems, to facilitating groups and training and development, and recognizing that when I was able to create a structure where they would listen to each other in a deep way, and it was very simple, but it was like magic that happened. I'm like, what's going on here? This is more. There's something more here. There's something here. And then to have everything going on in politics and organizations, all this mess, and a lot of decisions are being made and things are being done because groups and people do not feel heard. And I'm like, well, how can it be that there's this magic and this superpower possible? And yet on the other hand, it's not happening. And that's what started my journey to dive really into giving a voice to listening.
Giving a voice to listening. I love that statement. So before you delve into the topic, what is the opposite of active listening? You described active listening. What is the opposite?
Well, a lot of times active listening is thought of, you know, someone says something and then I will repeat back what you said or what I think you said or what I think you felt to check in to see if that's the case.
Maybe I shouldn't say what is the opposite. Maybe I should say what are the other types of listening? If you're not actively listening, how do you define the other types of
well, like maybe my I even go a different way than that. There's lots of models out there, and there's lots of ways of looking at listening, and all different types of listening: deep listening, understanding, active listening, compassionate listening. There's a lot of stuff out there, and they're all good. There's all a place and time for them. What I realized, though, no matter what type of listening you do, there are certain qualities that you need to have to make any of them work. You can have a checklist and you do the checklist. It doesn't mean that you've done it, and you can't force anybody to listen. You can't force and you have to find the best conditions that you need to listen. And everybody's a little different on what is possible. But there are some certain qualities, and I can tell you about that in just a moment, that are important no matter what. That's one thing. And what I have learned that surprised me is that often we think of listening as I'm listening to you so that I can gather information to do my job better, to do whatever I need to do better, right? Or to understand you so that I can understand you. You know, this is how we often approach listening. Yet if you're really an effective listener, and so this is someone who's just being present, paying attention, non-judgmental, and trying to understand a person's perspective, even if they don't understand, just those magical qualities, the speaker will start to speak better. The speaker will start to hear themselves. The speaker will start to recognize, oh, I don't have just this one thought in this one direction. There are other, it's a little bit more complex. And all of a sudden, instead of persuading us, they start expressing themselves, and they're able to hear themselves. And that's when change happens. So I know that you talk a lot about change. And so the more we discuss things, the more we get more extreme. The more we listen to each other, the more we can help each other change. Does that make sense? And that was, I didn't expect that when I started the journey. And that's what I've learned from the research.
So it's not just about how you interpret the listener, I mean, the speaker, excuse me. It's also when you're listening the way you say, I don't know how you define it, listening, not just active listening, but really listening. I don't want to call it really.
Well, let's just say listening, being fully present with your whole body, your whole mind, your whole heart. Let's call it
fully listening. That it changes how people articulate themselves.
Yes.
I never thought of it in that way. I always saw listening, it was about you, but it's also very much about the other person. It's really what we would call true communication when you're interacting with each other.
So it could be that right now you're listening to me, and because you're fully present, you will help me to speak better. And I'm able to hear myself, to hear whether I've said everything that's in my mind, you know, because we have a lot more going on in our mind than what we actually say. Mm-hmm. Often we're interrupted and we never have a chance to check in. So we assume we've said everything, but we may not have, or we may not be clear, or we say the same story over and over and we don't get to what's really important. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's research, out there we can even put a link to some of the articles in the notes if you want to. Yes. That shows that with speakers, when they had a good quality listener, that and the listener didn't have to do a whole lot, but they did have to be present, and they did have to be a pay attention and be non-judgmental. This is really important to be, you know, that's important. Like you care, right? That the person feels cared for. This is important. That the person speaking, even over something really extreme thoughts, that they started persuading the person. But when they realized that the person was really paying attention, all of a sudden they felt safe. And when they felt safe, they would relax. And when they relaxed, then instead of persuading, they expressed themselves. And then they would see the strengths and the weaknesses, the pros and the cons, not just one perspective. And by the end of the conversation, their perspective, their attitude was less extreme.
It's transformative for the speaker then too.
If yeah,
you have
exactly.
A listener who is fully present.
Yeah.
So tell us, how do we develop our listening skills? What do we need to do? Like, mm-hmm. Let's start first with the various ways of listening, and then go from there to say what you think we should do to become better listeners in order to develop our listening superpowers.
Well, the first thing is most of us think we're better than what we are. Everybody does. And if you really pay attention, we're good listeners with some people, sometimes, in some situations. Mm. And to pay attention, when does it get tough? When do we get triggered? For me, when I'm tired, I'm horrible at listening, you know? So I know that late at night is not the best time to have a deep conversation or to make a decision. Right. So pay attention. What do you need to really be fully present? Also recognize that we often have a lot going on in our minds. We're very in a very distracted community, culture, and to pay attention, that your mind will wander because we're thinking a lot more than our brain, our minds are going like crazy. Your mind will wander. And therefore it's more of a practice of just noticing when it does and pulling yourself back, noticing when it does and pulling yourself back. And it does get easier. At first you're like, oh my gosh, what the, I didn't realize it was that bad. But it's okay. Don't be too hard on yourself. It will happen. Pull yourself back. And if you missed out on something important, say, sorry, I just got distracted. Will you say that again, please? Just let them know. It's okay. We're human. So I think that's part of it, is just recognizing, you know, what do you need to do to be fully present? And do you need to clean your desk up? Do you need to go take a walk before you sit down and talk to someone? And what do you really need? And then to practice being curious, being interested. What is going to happen next? What are they going to say next? Be interested and be curious. I've had clients who, you know, came to me, they're like, oh, this person doesn't like me. And I don't know. And I have to have a meeting with them. And I think, you know, and they don't really like me and they're always blocking me. And so I said, okay, your only job in the next meeting is just to be curious. That's it. Don't try to persuade them. Don't try to do anything. Just go in and be curious. And they're always amazed because that person feels that they're interested in them. And all of a sudden they become more open too. And then they get curious in them. It's really interesting. So be curious. That's the second thing. If you just do that, pay attention and be curious, you've already come a long way.
So
it sounds simple, doesn't it?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. So,
but it's not. Try it out. You're going to be surprised. It's not that easy.
I'm going to try it out today. Oh, my husband. So when people come to you and they want to develop their listening skills, what are the challenges that they're experiencing that they want to come to you? It like you just used an example, it's an issue on the job, you know, why would they come to you to develop their listening skills? Like, I would have never thought I would be doing a podcast on listening, you know what I mean? But it makes total sense. So why would people come and want to develop their listening? Yeah.
Well, usually actually people come because they like, I want people to listen to me. How can I get people to listen to me?
Now that makes sense. That makes sense. That's hilarious. Okay.
I did have someone the other day says, you know what? I've been working on communication. I've been working on this for a long time and it's going well, but there's something missing. And I just realized it's the listening piece that's missing. That's why it wasn't working so good. Here's the thing. Just because you're practicing your listening doesn't mean that your voice is not going to get heard. This is the thing. And yet, if you want people to listen to you, you got to start first listening yourself. And you first have to start by listening to yourself. You have to really pay attention. Am I fully present? Am I paying attention? Because know that by doing that, you will influence the speaker. I know it's hard to believe it, but you will. Give them 5 minutes of that attention. They are not used to it. They will be surprised. if they think you're weird for listening and not interrupting, just say, hey, I heard this on this podcast. I just want to try it out for 5 minutes. I'm just going to put myself on mute. And I'm just going to listen. And every so often I may ask a little question, but it's all about you in the next 5 minutes and see what happens. And ask, you know, when they're finished talking, what more, what else? Just let them go. People who talk a lot will actually find a point where they're finished and they don't know what to do.
Can I ever finish?
Yeah. And people who don't talk are surprised at how much they talk. That's usually what happens. And if someone does talk a lot and they don't stop, give them a few more times. And usually the first time it's a lot. It's almost like we're out in the desert. We haven't drank water for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're really thirsty and we're just gulping it in. Mm-hmm. It will get better. It will adapt. And often there is a certain point where then they will ask you, so what about you? I want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. Then it comes. And then they're ready to listen to you. Then they're ready and they will listen to you. You know that they're there. Yeah.
I've learned so much. So what I know you've given some advice here, but what would you give our audience on? Excuse me, go ahead and say what.
No, I was going to say one of the things I think there's a struggle a lot with online meetings and in organizations, like, because this is something that's important. There's the one-on-one listening, but there's also in meetings and groups where everybody's interrupting each other and it's really exhausting and you don't feel like you get anywhere. And I really believe that learning how to facilitate listening, or that all voices have a chance to speak. So it's speaking and listening. To do this is really a skill to develop. And when you can do this, that you really have a lot more power in the group will have more power. So the superpower is for the group. So whenever I'm with a group, I always have in the very beginning, some short little introduction. Hey, what's your energy level from 1 to 10? And we go around and I call each person will have a chance to say something, because people don't feel like they're seen in a space unless they speak out. So at least to have something short where everybody has a chance to be seen as a person. Oh, I'm tired today. I didn't get my coffee yet. Or I just ran my kid to kindergarten. I'm just getting settled in, that people are seen as people. It doesn't take that long. It has a huge impact. There's also a structure called listening circles. And if you guys can look it up, check it out. And it's basically a structure that's so powerful. And there's a lot of research being done on this structure, even in organizations where they use this structure with teams every 2 to 3 weeks. And it does so much with helping people to feel more belonging, even if relationships are a little bit messy, if it helps people feel like they're building relationships. And it also helps customer perspective, kind of an interesting thing. There's a lot of research there, but basically the structure is, there's 4 guidelines. Number one, when you speak from your heart. So you speak from your perspective, from your experience, not talking about someone else. You speak from your own perspective, from your experience. Number two, you listen from your heart, which means that you let judgment take a break, opinions take a break. Like, you can get them back after, but take a moment just to be interested, to be curious, to be willing to be changed by what the person said. As if you're discovering something new. If you think you already know, you're not listening. Number three, don't rehearse. Wait till it's your turn. Take a moment in silence. It takes us about 8 seconds to actually think of a meaningful response. Take a few seconds of silence and notice, is there something that wants to be said now that furthers the group? Not just repeating what someone else said, that furthers the group. And number four, keep it lean. People can listen to you better if you speak with less words. The more you ramble, the more you go on, they will check out. So if you really want people to listen to you, focus on the essence. Tell a story. Make it easy for people to listen to you. And respect other people's time so that every voice gets heard. And this listening circle actually goes in the same order over and over. So you don't go back and forth. And, you know, so sometimes people will think they have something to say, but they can't interrupt because there's a structure. But by the time it gets to them, they realize, oh, that wasn't that important, or it was already answered. You know, so just to pay attention, to follow this, the circle. It really is powerful. And you keep going until there's nothing left to be said. Or you run out of time.
So what context would you have a listening circle?
You would have it, for example, if a decision needs to be made in a group. First, you could do that first to get all the perspectives out and make sure that all the information is out on the table. And the reason why you go around the circle a few times is because some people need more time to think. And for people who are quieter, usually they may not say something the first time, but they'll say something probably the second or the third time, right? And usually there's a first circle where the stuff that's normally said is said. And then once you go through to the next circles, then the deeper stuff shows up. The stuff that is probably in our minds that never gets out. We never get a chance. So you can do it before you make a decision. You can do it every so often so that, like, if you have a group that, you know, you just have it as a regular thing to do so that everybody's kind of, whatever needs to be talked about gets talked about. There's lots of different adaptations that can be used. What I just told you was the very pure type, but there's a lot of different adaptations you can do for decision-making, just for team building, for, I don't know, getting updated in the group to, you know, there's lots of different ways you can do that.
Yeah. When you said listening circle, I was trying to figure out
we can also put some resources up.
Yes. Yes. Could you email those to me and I'll make sure that they're included in the summary.
Yeah. I'd like to say one last thing, because I know you're going to have you have students that listen to you. If you're someone who has more power in the organization or in a teacher, or you're the boss, be the last one to speak. Because once you speak, they will be afraid to. But if you listen to everyone first and then speak, you know, that you're more likely to hear their voices, because often you have leaders who say, I want them to speak up, but then they speak first and that shuts them down right away. Right. And I had one of my ex-bosses was really smart. She had her list of things she wanted to go over in the team. And she would have all of us speak first. And I noticed she'd be crossing things off. So by the time it got to her, often all the topics were already taken care of. She did not have to bring them up, and the team engaged in their own topic. They took responsibility and ownership. And if there was something missing, then she'd bring it up, or she would just tell stories. And that was nice.
Yeah. So that makes so much sense, because it encourages people to speak, right? Instead of, you know, you, like you said, as a leader, you shut people down, you know, if you don't, if you speak first. But if you're a leader and you speak last, then you're more apt to get people engaged. When you say you want engagement, but they really become engaged once their voices are heard.
Yeah. It may take a few times to do it if they're not used to it, for them to trust the process, but just give it a few times.
So what do you have, any advice that you would give, or calls to action you would give our audience? You know, in terms of, I know you've given us a lot of great recommendations on how to become better listeners. Is there anything else you would like to add in terms of educating our audience so that we can become better listeners?
I'm not sure if this is what you mean, but I do have, I've done a lot of listening labs and a lot of listening workshops. I do them in organizations, and there's one I do on superpowers for listening that I've decided now to put it out in the world, you know, and to see if anybody's interested in it. And I'll launch that in May. And that will look at seven different, what I call listening superpowers, which includes, you know, some of them are like attention and your presence, empathy, asking powerful questions, because asking powerful questions or learning how to do that is a skill in and of itself. And yet they don't work unless you listen after. Right. So it will include some of these things and also what the science is showing. There's a lot of new research that's out there that's showing this. And I really believe that this building these skills and capacities and bringing training and places for people to not only to learn, but to practice. Those who are listening, if they can find ways to help people in their organization or in the education system to learn and practice, because it over time, it will have a huge, huge impact. So that's something we can put the link if anybody's interested in that. But just to keep it simple, I would recommend just finding one person today that you give them a piece of some time to just listen to and not interrupt them and to be fully present. And that's one thing. And the other thing that, well, maybe I can tell this with your students later. With my students, I have them do something I call a stakeholder interview, where they reach out to someone in an industry or a job that they're interested in, but they may not even know the person. It may be the first time there's someone they don't know well or someone that's a stranger, and they reach out and they ask them for a half an hour interview. And they have only 3 to 5 questions ready that are open questions, starting with what and how. And then their main goal is just to listen to that person and to be curious and start with the first question and then follow the speaker and ask questions from there. And not to ask questions too quick, to allow silence, allow pauses, and just to be a good listener. And then once run out of things to say, then look down at your paper and ask the next question. And it could be you never get to the other questions. And what this does is it helps them recognize the power of building relationships through listening and building trust. And it's a great way to network, and it may open up doors to opportunities that they didn't expect. And this is really important for our young people to learn how to the power of listening, building relationships with people in the industry. And that has more power almost than just talking about themselves, right? So that's something I would add.
That's great advice. Now, you say you have a workshop coming up in May or a class.
Yes.
What is it?
It is called,
let me look up the title.
it's part of this podcast. This is where I came up with this. It is called Grow Your Listening Superpowers for Lasting Impact. And it will be, we will dive into and learn about 7 different listening superpowers. There's a lot of them out there, but we'll focus on 7. And there are seven of them where there's some of the research that's showing what they do. And I can also, if anybody is a nerd like me, when it comes to that stuff, some people, it will also show you the research behind it. So it's evidence-based. But actually the workshop is very experiential. We play. And because I've learned that the best way to learn listening is not to talk about it like I'm doing right now, but to experience it. And then once you experience it, then you want more.
So how will our audience be able to participate in that workshop if they'd like to join you?
Yeah, if you're interested, then just go to my website and there's a place you can just put your email in. And then as soon as I have the dates, I just set the dates up. I don't have them on the website yet. Then I'll just send you an email and you're welcome to get set up. There'll be 2 different workshops in May at different times.
Okay, great. So tell us your website address.
It's www.listeningalchemy.com. And you can find me there. You can also find me on LinkedIn under Raquel Arc. And I'd be happy to connect. Or if anyone has a question, just send me an email and I'd be happy to set up a call.
Thank you, Raquel. This has been a great interview. I've really learned a lot. I've learned a lot, and I'm going to practice today per your recommendation. So thank you so much for joining us today. I wish you the best on your workshops, your upcoming workshops, and I can't wait to have you back again.
Thank you, Ramona. It's been a pleasure.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song, NADWorks, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.